things up a little bit more and let you ask some questions and make some comments, because maybe there's something you're particularly interested in that I could explain in more detail. Is everybody sitting there going, I don't want to be the first one to ask a question, everybody will think I'm stupid? That's just self-centered mind, isn't it? Yeah. So he had read my little booklet called Working with Anger. You read the little booklet or the big book? Little booklet. Okay. Yeah, that one was printed here in Singapore. And so he was saying that I spoke about patience as the antidote to anger and being patient. Yeah. Actually, I should explain what patience means in this context. What patience means in a Buddhist context is it means having a mind that's calm in the confront of aggression or in the confront of suffering. Okay? So patience in a Buddhist sense, it doesn't mean waiting for somebody, being patient because you're waiting for somebody, but it means being able to have a calm mind even though you're suffering or even though there's a conflict situation around you. Okay? So like I said before, patience doesn't mean that we stuff our anger down and pretend it isn't there. Okay? Patience is just the ability to be calm because we've let go of the anger. And so in the little booklet, I talked about all sorts of different ways to let go of the anger, different ways to think. Yeah? And I find that these are very helpful. I think one way that's especially helpful to think is when we feel that we're getting angry, look at the person that we're getting angry at. You know, they're saying something or doing something that we don't like. Yeah. If they're saying or doing something negative, are they doing that because they're happy or because they're unhappy? They're unhappy. Does anybody ever harm somebody else when they're happy? No. You don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, I feel so good today, I think I'm going to go beat somebody up. Yeah? We never think that way. Yeah? When we are aggressive to somebody else, it's because inside we are miserable. We are unhappy. Isn't it? Look at our own experience. When you're happy, are you ever aggressive to anybody else? No, it's always when we're unhappy. So similarly, somebody else who is aggressive towards us or somebody who's doing something that we don't agree with, they're doing it because they're unhappy. They're not doing it because they're happy. They're doing it because they're unhappy. And we know what it's like to be unhappy, don't we? We know what it's like to feel miserable. Well, that's what this other person is experiencing right now. So what use is there in getting angry at somebody else who is miserable? They're already miserable. Why get angry at them? Okay. Instead, if we can have some kind feelings towards them and wish them well, then they might actually be happy and stop doing what they're doing that we find so objectionable. Okay? So let's say somebody's really getting on your case and they're saying all sorts of, they're scolding you. You know? Somebody who's scolding you, are they scolding you because they're happy or they're unhappy? They're unhappy. Okay? So instead of looking at the other person and saying, oh, they're such an aggressive person, look at them and say, wow, this is an unhappy person. This person's suffering right now. Yeah. There's no sense in me getting angry at them because they're already unhappy. And sometimes, you know, really, if we could wish those people to be happy, then there's a chance that we might get along with them, and there's a chance that they might stop doing what we find so horrible. And this works not only on a personal level, but it works in international politics as well. Yeah. I mean, like, I look at the situation. I was in America during 9/11, okay? So it was a really horrific situation. But, you know, if instead of reacting with aggression against Al-Qaeda, you know, the Americans had said, wow, these people are really unhappy. What's going on? Why are they so unhappy? What's going on in the world that they're so unhappy that they have to do this in order to, and they think that doing this is going to make them feel good? Okay? So I think very often, instead of attacking our enemies, now even on a group basis or international basis, when somebody does something like that, that's a call for us to really listen deeply to the other person. What's going on that they're so unhappy that they think that doing this is going to resolve their own pain? So even, let's say, somebody that you really care about, you know, has turned against you and they're saying all sorts of horrible things. If we look and say, wow, that person's really unhappy, what's going on that they think that yelling and screaming and behaving like this is going to make them happy? Yeah? So, you know, when we can think like this, it gives us a little bit of space in our mind. Yeah, a little bit of space for kindness and to remain steady, to remain calm, not to be so reactive. Okay, so that's what patience means. That was a long answer to a short comment. Okay, other comments, questions? Yeah.
My chicken did it basically
produce food.
We are into, we have been taking our lives so that we can, you know, when we are out here, it will be better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes for, let's say for myself, I kind of have this emotional conflict whereby, you know, like, you want the best for, let's say, example here, for him.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you want him to change, you know, certain ways, but, you know, he's not, he's just kind of pissing me off, like, you know, you can hear the change, but, you know, you're still going into your old habits, and so, in a sense, I would feel that, you know, why can't he be like me, you know, so it's like, it's very contradictory.
You feel, why can't, what?
They be, let's say, positive, or why can't they change?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're saying that here it's school, and so the emphasis is on rehabilitation. And when you see somebody kind of not taking the opportunity that is presented to them here and just falling into their old habits, then you get a little bit kind of irritated with them and like, why can't they get it together? Yeah.
I mean, it's like compassion in the sense that, I mean, if you're going to carry on that habit or that style of thinking, that kind of wrong thinking, you know, you're gonna go on an endless trip.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. I mean, on, maybe it's on, I don't know, maybe it's the compassionate side, or because I'm self-righteous.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're able to very clearly see how your friend is blowing it in some way. You know, we're very good at seeing other people's faults, aren't we? And how they aren't taking full, you know, they're falling into their old bad habits, or they're not taking advantage of the opportunity here. And so we care about the person and we want them to really use the opportunity and take advantage of things to make their life better, but they're not doing it. So we get a little bit irritated, don't we? Or as you say, self-righteous. Okay. So it happens, doesn't it? It happens. So here it's this thing of checking our motivation. If we're feeling self-righteous, like, I'm so together, you slob, can't get it together. That's not a very good attitude, is it? You know, self-righteous. I'm the star student. I'm coming out of here with flowers and glory. And, you know, these other people are just slobs and mess up their lives. So I'm so compassionate towards these poor idiots. Okay, that's not compassion. That's condescension. Yeah, that's, don't confuse that with compassion. That's condescension. Okay. You can look at somebody who's blowing it. I mean, because sometimes we see our friends who blow it, who blow the opportunity. And we can have compassion for them. Compassion is the wish that others be free of suffering and its causes. So there's a kind of sadness of like watching somebody blow the situation, but also knowing that we can't control them. You know, we can't crawl inside their mind and pull some switches and rearrange the wires and, you know, get them to stop drinking or stop taking drugs or whatever. You know, we can't do that. Okay. So on one hand, you know, being compassionate doesn't, you know, we shouldn't think that we can control people because we can't control other people. On the other hand, when you see somebody, like let's say a friend who's still drinking or still taking drugs, and you know that drugs and drinking just mess up your life, okay? And you see your friend doing that, and they don't seem to be able to stop, okay? You have compassion for them because you know how difficult it is for them, because maybe even you were into drugs and drinking before, and you know what it takes to turn around, okay? But you can also go to your friend and be very straight. When your mind is clear, when you're not self-righteous, you can also be very straight with your friend and sit down and say, you know, hey, I care about you, and look what you're doing. Are you really doing what you want to be doing? Yeah? And really be very tough, you know? It's kind of a tough compassion. So compassion doesn't mean, oh, you poor baby, you can't stop drinking, here's some vodka, solve your problems. Okay? That's not compassionate. Yeah. Or compassion isn't, oh, you're still taking dope, well, I'll just pretend I didn't see it. Yeah? But you can go and just talk straight to your friend and say, you know, what happens when you do this? Okay? Because we know, don't we? We know. And we often know from our own experiences. I mean, I drank and I took drugs before. Uh-oh. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I didn't bring any drugs from Singapore. I'm a nun. No, this was many, many years ago. Okay? But I know from my own experience what happened. It's dead end. Totally dead end in your life. Yeah? And we have this incredible, beautiful human potential. You know? From the Buddhist viewpoint, we have what's called the Buddha nature, or the clear light nature of the mind, which means that each and every one of us can become fully enlightened Buddhists. Each and every one of us can develop infinite love and compassion. Each and every one of us can develop the wisdom that understands reality. You know? So here we have this beautiful potential inside of us. And when we can't see it, when we don't have confidence in our own potential, yeah, then we just, you know, get into drugs and alcohol, and it makes a mess of our lives, doesn't it? You know, your mind gets foggy, can't think clearly. Now we have this, like I said, beautiful potential to become a Buddha. And what are we doing? You know, we're going, whoa. It's true, isn't it? And think about what you do when you drink and take drugs. What do? If you saw yourself when you were high, if you were like outside looking in on yourself, that person who was high, What do you think of the way that person's acting? Yeah, being completely controlled by the drug. And in our own experience, you know, we say and do incredible things when we're drunk or intoxicated. And then afterwards, we have so much regret. Well, so it brings a little bit of pleasure and a lot of pain. So sometimes, you know, it's helpful to remind our friends of this. And remind people of their own inner beauty, their own inner potential, and what they can do with their lives. And how drugs and alcohol, it covers up that potential. Yeah, it really does. Okay, another long answer to a short question. I'm good at that. Other questions or comments? This is your chance.
Like you go to prison, people have nothing to do, then they tend to gossip and criticize people behind their back.
Mm.
So, like, if we were to hear some gossip or ourselves, or we were to gossip others, it's like, how do we really solve this thing? Because, like, overcome this problem.
Mm.
Because when people, like, one group you're from, they're bound to say something about that. Then are we supposed to, like,
good question. This is a very good question. So he's asking about gossip and also about when people are saying nasty things about other people. Okay? You see, you're sitting there talking with a group of people and then somebody starts bad-mouthing somebody. So what do? Do you just hang around and, you know, listen to all the nasty things that that person says about this person or that person says about this group? Do you stay in that environment where everybody starts to get worked up and antagonistic? Yeah. I think that it's better just to excuse ourselves at that point, you know? Just recognize in our own minds, hey, you know, I have nothing to gain from listening to one person trash another person. There's nothing in it for me. Yeah? And so just, you know, we all know ways to kind of leave a situation, don't we? You know? Oh, I have something to do. Oh, we see another person walking by and we start talking to them. There's lots of ways to exit from a situation. And I think that's much better than hanging around when we hear somebody else start to trash somebody else. Yeah? Or sometimes, even, you know, depending who we're with, if we're with somebody who we know quite well, to look, you know, to say to that friend, hey, you know, there's nothing to be gained from talking in this way. Or, I don't feel good listening to this. You know, especially if people start doing racial slanders. I mean, I think that's really horrible to be able to say, hey, I don't want to listen to racial, you know, or religious slandering of other people. I don't feel comfortable with that. Hmm? Or another technique is you completely change the topic of conversation. Or you crack a joke. Or you do something. There's always ways to divert people's attention. Yeah? So in this kind of situation where somebody's starting to rev up the energy in a group, you divert the energy. Yeah? You do something else. I mean, just a simple example of this. I was at a friend's house one time and talking to his parents. And his parents, you know how sometimes people who've been married a long time, they get into these habits and they just start, you know, yelling at each other. So I could kind of see that happening with my friends. You know, we were having dinner together and some topic of conversation. And I started to see some dynamic going on between my friend's mother and father. So I just took the conversation and I led it in another direction. And, you know, we'd start talking about something else. Well, my friend came up to me afterwards and he said, wow, you know, for 30-something years I've watched my mom and dad get into this really negative pattern. And it never dawned on me to just change the topic of conversation or take, you know, you don't have to, it's not like they're talking about cars and you start talking about elephants. But, you know, you don't have to change it that radically. But, you know, they're talking about cars and then you jump in and start talking about cars, about this and that, and take the conversation in some other direction about cars. And then, you know, pretty soon they're on to that other topic instead of sitting there backbiting each other. There's a lot to be said for changing the topic of conversation or gently steering it. Gently steering it in another direction. And I think humor, too, can be a very good thing in tense situations, or if you're in a group and people are starting to badmouth, to crack a joke. Or if somebody's starting to get on our case, make fun of ourselves. Yeah. Usually when somebody's starting to ridicule us, we get so defensive, don't we? Yeah, how come they're making fun of me like this? You know, I find the best thing to do is at that point make fun of myself. Because then, I mean, first of all, what I do is pretty funny. So I might as well laugh at myself. And second of all, it takes out all the steam. If other people are trying to antagonize me by making fun of me, if I turn around and make fun of myself, it takes out all the steam from what they're trying to do. Because I'm going along with it. Okay? So there's all sorts of things you can do sometimes. I remember one time my mom was getting really mad at me about something, you know, some stupid thing, and my mother, she was going on and on and on and on and on. And I just said, "Well, Mom, what to do? You have a stupid daughter." Well, that ended it, you know? That ended it. It was just like, okay, she couldn't say anything after that. I said, "What are you going to do?" You know, I spaced out. You have a dumb daughter. Big deal. Okay. So humor, you know, especially humor about ourselves can be a really big thing for diffusing tension and tense situations.